T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Good morning. It is the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. I am Stephen Langford, leading you up until 6 o'clock this morning. And this weekend in Bay Area sports, I'd say, was a wild one. We had the A's and the Giants, and the A's just swept them. And you're going to hear this a lot, I think, today on the station. But that had to have been one of the most embarrassing sweeps that I think ever, that's ever been happened in the history of baseball, especially between two teams that are rivals. Now, I don't really necessarily agree with the notion that this isn't a rivalry. Maybe not between the teams, because, look, when it comes to rivalries, teams need consistency. Right? And we haven't really had much of that with the A's nor the Giants. When the Giants were good, that's when the A's were kind of making all these questionable moves, flipping around players. You thought you had mainstays on that team at the time, and, you know, in the early 2010s, but really you didn't know. And the Giants, you know, they had their players and they had their guys, but the A's weren't stable at the time. And now, when the A's are the team that's a stable one, the one that has depth, and we'll get into everything that happened over the weekend, not just yesterday, where it was a fifth run inning that blew everything up. But it's just the A's have a stable team when the Giants don't have one this year. And I think that's what makes a rivalry, if you want to have it between the teams. However, with the fans, look, there's that notion that Giants fans don't necessarily care because they have the championships and the A's fans are kind of the ones looking up at them. But right now, the A's fans are the ones looking down on the Giants fans for their team. But I do think that whenever you go to these games and you walk around, whether it's at Oracle Park or at the Collie, you walk around, it's pretty apparent that there is still a rivalry of sorts. You know, and it's fun. Because, you know, in the end, it's sports. Sometimes it gets a little serious and people start fist fighting, which is the dumbest thing ever at a sporting event because it's sports in the end. I've seen that at the Giants-Dodgers game before. Not really at Giants-A's games. They're more kind of just, look, this is the team that I grew up rooting for. You better respect that. And I think both fan bases kind of understand that. So I think that it's still alive and well. And, I mean, if you're looking on Twitter, it was popping. MLB Twitter was popping for the first time this season. Not only because of the 7-6 loss on Friday, but because of the 7-6 loss on Saturday and that embarrassing 15-3 loss yesterday. If you kept up with that game, there are a couple of things you might have missed if you didn't. But if you kept up with it, you saw that the Giants got to the point where they're bringing in Tyler Heidemann to be a relief pitcher. Trevor Gott being the one this weekend who got stung the most. We'll get to some sound for a bit in a second. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Would love to hear your thoughts on this Bay Bridge series as of late. Is this the most memorable Bay Bridge series that there's ever been, besides maybe 1989? Because I can't really think of one where I remember the entire series, or where I watched it and I thought, you know, months down the line, I'm going to be thinking about this one. You know, years away, we're going to remember this Bay Bridge series, at least this one, because, you know, I remember one where Eric Burns hit an inside the park homer when the A's were playing the Giants, when it was back when it was, I think it was SBC at the time. I mean, there's little things like that that you remember, but this entire series, whether it's just blowing it against Mark Canha on Saturday with Trevor Gott, or Trevor Gott on Friday giving up a grand slam to Stephen Piscotty, or whether it was just yesterday and the 15-3 beatdown that the A's put on the Giants, which is this the most memorable one? 888-957-9570. I also want to ask you, what was your reaction to everything that went on Saturday night / Sunday morning with the thunderstorms and the lightning? Because that was something, I know that's kind of off topic and it's not really about any sports, but if you want to get in your thoughts about that too, that was crazy what the Bay Area went through on Sunday. And these pictures that were surfacing, it was all real cool. It was also real scary. So I would like to know from you, 888-957-9570. Look, we already know what happened on Friday night. I'm not going to necessarily bore you with the details, but you know that the Giants were up. Then Matt Olson, he hits a solo shot, which he tends to do, I believe. Yesterday, he finally actually got on base instead of hitting a home run before yesterday's game. 8 of his 13 hits had been home runs so far in the season, and they'd been clutch home runs too. But then yesterday he got a few singles and he got that batting average up. But on Friday, made the game 7-3, and we know that Wilmer Flores was playing first, didn't touch the bag, and he went to Brandon Crawford for a force out at second. Brandon Crawford tried applying the tag, didn't work, and he kept on getting runners on, and eventually bases were loaded, and Stephen Piscotty hits it out. Tie game. Boom, you know what happens from the rest there. The A's get the victory, and it was incredibly embarrassing. However, this notion after Friday, I I'm speaking strictly from a Friday night. This was my initial take on the reaction from the game. On Friday, I saw a lot of blame being put on Gabe Kapler for leaving Trevor Gott in. Also not making that defensive substitution with Brandon Belt at first. I just had a tough time trying to blame that Friday night loss on Gabe Kapler and the pitching changes that he makes. I think that the prevailing thought around Gabe Kapler before he even came here, it was, he didn't make it work in Philly. He had 2 seasons over there with a lot of studs on that Philadelphia team. How's he going to make it work here in San Francisco? And there was that prevailing notion that it's not going to work. What's the point of bringing him here? And you're hearing constantly, whether you're listening to this station, whatever you're listening to, you're watching ESPN, people, MLB Network, all of that, people aren't necessarily understanding the hire. And you're getting a bunch of guests on who are saying some questionable things. And I think that gets ingrained into fans' minds. And as they're watching the season, they're clearly looking at Gabe Kapler as the reason for why the Giants are where they're at. But then after Friday, I'm thinking, it's not because, I don't know if it's because of Gabe Kapler. I think it's just because of the talent that he has on this team. It's not like he has a bevy of relievers to work with. And I was thinking, you know, if Bruce, we didn't blame Bruce Bochy at all for the last couple of years for whatever he did, for losing games. And it might not have been his fault, but we didn't look at a pitching change as a reason as to why they lost, even though that happened quite a bit. We never looked at Bruce Bochy and blamed him. We always looked at the talent. So It's completely different with Gabe Kapler, and I kind of didn't really understand that on coming off Friday night. But then Saturday night, We had another situation where he left, got in, and we know what Mark Canha did.
6-4 Giants, the payoff. Canha swings and sends one to left field. Back is Yastrzemski at the trap, and it's gone! They've done it again! Mark Canha delivers! And the A's have taken a ninth inning lead once more!
In the ninth inning, credit Fox for the audio as Trevor got yet again. It just... why did we leave him in this time, Kapler? That's really what I want to know. And again, 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. But here's Gabe Kapler after that Saturday game talking about what he told Trevor Gott.
Remind him how good he's been up until yesterday. Remind him how good he's been at the major league level last year. That track record means more than two rough outings.
So that first one, I kind of understood. He's not the de facto closer, for one thing. There's a prevailing thought that Trevor Gott is the closer for this team. I mean, I was on the show Saturday with Covey from 10 to 2, and we had a caller saying that he's their stud closer. He's good, but he's not their stud closer. The Giants don't have a stud closer right now. They're trying to figure out what to do with their bullpen. And I thought the line of thinking for Gabe Kapler on Friday was bring in Trevor Gott when you got a 7-2 lead. Okay, nothing's really going to happen there. Oh, a home run is hit. That's fine. Oh, Trevor Gott put himself in this situation now where he's got the bases loaded. Worst thing that can happen, Steven Piscotty could hit one into right center. Maybe all three score. They'll still be up 7-6. I could bring in another pitcher. Or I could get Trevor Gott's confidence up, finally let him get out of this hot water and just see how this young pitcher does. And lo and behold, he gives up a grand slam and that's what happens. But this second night, I didn't really understand what happened, and the first one, it's you wanted to give these relievers some rest. You know, you Gabe Kapler's been using a lot of his relief pitchers every single game. It feels like we're seeing maybe three at the least. If you get two out there, then that's a success, but we're seeing at least three, maybe even four going out there, because none of these starters besides, you know, Kevin Gausman or Johnny Cueto. Kevin Gausman with a great outing, by the way, on Saturday. But if you're not getting those guys for more than five, maybe six innings, and at that point, a lot of these guys are giving up runs, so you're not even getting them out the inning. You just want them to hit the three-batter minimum. But I just didn't understand the line of thinking with keeping Trevor Gott in yesterday. And he continued to speak about it. And here is Gabe Kapler just talking about his experience with struggles in his career.
I think my experience tells me that, you know, struggles, even prolonged struggles, are part of baseball for even the best players. And so the approach is generally to remind players how good they are, how good they've been, and that, you know, that I believe in them, that we as a staff believe in them, that their teammates believe in them. Because baseball is a game that there's a lot of failure. And so you need people reminding you to stay measured, stay even, not get too low when things are bad. And then certainly the flip side is true, not to get too high when things are going very well. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy it when they are. But, you know, there's got to be a degree of being even through tough times and being resilient through tough times and, you know, addressing the concerns, addressing the issues, but as quickly as is possible, turning the page and working on the process that leads to better results. That's basically how I would approach it based on my experience.
Coming up next, you are going to hear from Trevor Gott, who spoke after Saturday's game. And then, of course, we will get to the details from yesterday's 15-3 beatdown as the A's sweep the Giants in their second time playing so far this season. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 the game, leading you up till 6 o'clock. And this is from the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570. And you know what? I agree with this. From the 510, they're in a rebuilding phase, and they're not going to be good for a while, no matter what manager you put at the helm. The fans need to realize that Major League was just a fictional movie. This team full of Jake Taylors and Willie Mays Hazes aren't going to win. That's Dan in the 510. That's all I hear on Sports Talk Radio and on social media is that Kapler needs to go. These Giants fans still think they should be winning a World Series. And I think, Dan, that's what I'm confused about whenever I see the outrage on Twitter, on social media, about these moves that Gabe Kapler makes. It's not that you're giving the A's, they're not giving the A's credit for being one of the deepest lineups in baseball, going up against a bullpen that's kind of a minor league bullpen at this point. They're not giving that credit to that. They're all putting it on Gabe Kapler for these moves that he makes. And the first night, I understood what he was doing, leaving Trevor Gott in. He's not the de facto closer. He's not this stud. He's good, and he's had good outings since last season, but they hadn't had a closer yet. They hadn't had one. And I think he was just trying to give his relievers a break. And we're getting on him for not putting Brandon Belt at first, but Wilmer Flores, he was hitting so well in that game. He was 4-for-5 up to that point. You're not just going to switch him out. I mean, you didn't think that the A's were going to come back there, but it's just you didn't think you were going to be put into a situation where a defensive switch was going to matter when they were up by 5. And here's the one from yesterday that really made me just confused. It was when he brought in Wandy Peralta after Logan Webb had a pretty good outing. It was tied 2-2, and he brings in Wandy Peralta because Tony Kemp is coming up. Then Bob Melvin decides to pinch hit Chad Pinder. Then Chad Pinder against Wandy Peralta does this.
First pitch is hit deep to left field. Dickerson's back, and that baby's gone. Boy, first pitch.
That looked good, sounded better, and long gone.
Credit NBC Sports California for that audio, Glenn Kuiper and Ray Fossey. And, I mean, Chad Pinder, he put a nice swing on it, and he just goes to show the depth that the A's have on that team. That guy's not even, he's a utility guy. You know, he's brought in when other guys need a rest, and Chad Pinder, he has that nice swing. It was just real smooth. And it's just, as soon as that home run was hit, it's Gabe Kapler this, Gabe Kapler that. And I thought to myself, how can Gabe Kapler be blamed for bringing in a pitcher, a left-handed pitcher, and him just giving a home run right up on the first pitch? What is Kapler supposed to do if he can't put a reliever in for one single pitch? And, you know, we just point toward the analytics and the problems within games and he's thinking too much and he's using too much data. No, he was just trying to put a left-hander in against a lefty. And Bob Melvin countered that by pinch hitting in a righty. And it was 4-2, and we know what happened after that. And, I mean, Stephen Piscotty ended up with 5 RBIs. That man was a Giants killer over the weekend. And, you know, Matt Chapman, after those first couple of games, he was 0-for. And there's nothing worse, I felt like, than on that Friday night when the A's were batting around in the ninth inning, and Matt Chapman started it with an out. And he also ends it with an out too. There's not a worse feeling than that when your team is rolling. But it's just hard for me to really blame Gabe Kapler. And Dan, I like that you brought that up. They're in a rebuilding phase and they're not going to be good for a while, no matter what manager you put at the helm. What happened at the beginning of the season when every single fan is saying, "Well, this season's basically a wash"? So what does it matter? And most fans feel like Gabe Kapler is, for the most part, a placeholder right here. They're not understanding why Farhan hired him, but they also don't think that Gabe Kapler is going to be a part of this. He's not going to be the one leading this team in the future. It's just this weird situation. It's Giants fans versus Gabe Kapler, it feels like, when really they should just be giving all the credit in the world to an A's team, which is incredibly deep, and it looks like they are primed to go in for another playoff round and see if they can actually go somewhere. And another thing that gets lost on yesterday is Mike Fiers finally had a good outing. I think that is what's more troubling, is that the A's, or the Giants rather, they were hitting real well against Jesus Luzardo. Now, Frankie Montas was meant to get the start, and he was a late scratch in that game, so Luzardo had to come in, and you know, they slapped him around a little bit. You know, the Giants were getting the bat on the ball and, you know, hitting all over the place. It wasn't just home runs. They were doing it with singles, with doubles. They were doing it everywhere. And they touched him up and gave him up and then you know, got him for 6 earned runs. And what did we do that entire game? We blamed Gabe Kapler, but instead we didn't look at the A's relievers and give them credit for only giving up 1 earned run for the rest of the game, even though a majority of them came in. Then on Saturday, we didn't give the A's credit for coming back from another deficit. We were just looking at the moves that Gabe Kapler was making. In the end, you just got to look at it like, look, it's a really good team that they're playing. And they came back, even though they were down. I did promise you to play some sound from Trevor Gott. Here he is after the game talking about his response to his 2 bad outings.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It's baseball. A lot of happens to everyone. I just happen to have 2 in a row, and it's very unfortunate. Those are tough losses, but I mean, you got to keep going. Obviously, it's not as long of a season as it usually is, but there's a lot of baseball still left.
I would be interested to hear what him and Gabe Kapler had to say behind closed doors. I wonder what he told him, because he said he talked to Trevor, and he said that he wanted to get his confidence back, and said that, you know, he's a good player, and he was kind of just being that reassuring manager that everyone expected Gabe Kapler to be, the kind of player's manager. I wonder, though, if he said, look, if I'm going to get another chance tomorrow and I got you in a save situation, I'm going to put you in. And he said, you know, give you a chance to redeem yourself. Go on national TV, go on Fox, and put that embarrassing grand slam that you gave up behind you yesterday. Let's try it out again. I feel like that's probably what was said between Gabe Kapler and Trevor Gott. But he continued, and he talked just about his confidence and how it's not shaken.
No, I'm very confident in myself. I've always kind of been the guy that has been overlooked. So I'm very confident in myself and my ability to pitch. And I don't think that 2 back-to-back helps this at all. I mean, if they're spaced out, I don't think it's as big of a deal. But it's 2 tough losses, and I didn't pitch well in either one of them. So that's just part of it, and move on.
I mean, he's saying everything that you want him to say. Trevor Gott continued.
Yeah, that's what I was looking forward to doing. And, I mean, it happens quick. Like I said, I got into some deep counts. It looked like they almost knew what was coming. But, they put good swings on bad pitches. That's what happens at the major league level.
So there you go. There you go. The one bright spot, is this even a bright spot? I don't know. I don't know what to call it. I guess it's more of a sad spot, but it's also very interesting whenever you're going to put position players out on the mound, as Tyler Heineman came in the 9th. And I just got a quick montage here for you. It's about 25 seconds, but this sound is courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. Here is the outing from catcher Tyler Heineman in the 9th.
Hit on the ground to 3rd. Sandoval's got it. 1 out. Hit out to right center field. And coming in and diving is Dubon. And he makes the catch. And this will be a double play. And Heineman is going to be taken on the wrap by me. Pot up on the 9th coming up.
And that was Dubon with a nice play out there in center. But that defense, for a majority of the series, did not look good. And it for me, that's also what's tough to blame it on Gabe Kapler when he's making a defensive switch. Defense, look, baseball in general, compared to football, compared to basketball, it's pretty cut and dry. You know, and that's why a majority of fans are hating on the manager so much, because they feel like they can make better moves, or they know the moves they can make with their roster, because it's that straight up. It's you know, you got a runner on first, you get a grounder to you, you try and get the lead runner out at second. It's pretty fundamental when it comes to defense, and defense is just the most fundamental thing. I can't blame Gabe Kapler for this lack of fundamental defense, which the Giants just don't seem to have. And Gabe Kapler putting in a position player, it can't be easy for him, because Nick Swisher back in 2009, just listen to who he K'd when Nick Swisher was playing on the Yankees and had to come in to pitch against the Tampa Bay Rays. Listen to who he K'd back in 2009.
Who's going to the mound but Nick Swisher? Seen their pitcher's throw tonight. There's a wave and a miss, and Kapler strikes out.
I just pulled that up because that was when Gabe Kapler got hired to the Giants. I remember I knew that name from much more than just his two seasons with the Phillies. And, oh, yeah, he struck out against Nick Swisher that one time when Nick Swisher came into pitch for the first out. Brutal. Brutal. Sorry, Gabe. I didn't mean to do that. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Coming up next, you're going to hear an interview from Taylor Wirth when me and Covey were on Saturday, and he's going to give you some updates on what's going on around 49ers camp. Also asked about Joey Bart, so we'll get to that. We got some Warriors stuff to get into, as Isaiah Thomas seems to be making a push to try and get on the Warriors, if that's what he's doing. 888-957-9570, the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
You're going to hear from Taylor Wirth, Giants and 49ers beat writer. He's coming up here. He was on with Covey and I on Saturday and gave us a few updates from 49ers campus. He was live at Levi's, so you're going to hear from that. But playing the song Sunshine by Atmosphere, it was the complete opposite of that on Saturday night slash morning, Sunday morning, Saturday night slash Sunday morning, whatever. But how did you experience it? 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Because I woke up at, I'd say, about 4:50 to some loud bangs. And I look out, I open my blinds, and I look outside, and I just see a bunch of lightning. And I was like, what? So I went out to just outside on the patio, and looking out, I hadn't seen anything like that before. Maybe once, but that was when I was like six. I hadn't seen anything like that. 888-957-9570. What was your experience going through that entire thunderstorm of Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, depending on however your night was going? Your Saturday night could have still been going on. It could have been still going on. 888-957-9570. Thank you so much for joining me, everyone. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, leading you up until 6 o'clock. And normally I am on Saturdays from 10 to 2. Normally it's with JD, but I was on with Covey, who's going to be coming up here with Coz and Lowe at 6 o'clock. And we were joined by Taylor Wirth, who's a Giants and Niners beat writer, and he gave us a few updates on 49ers camp, how things are looking, and I do have a few questions just after that. But here's Taylor Wirth, Giants and 49ers beat writer. He was on with us Saturday and gave us some updates.
Well, the 3-batter minimum, I don't remember. I can't really think of a time where I've really noticed it. It kind of happens, and it's not really something that stands out like the extra inning rule. Last night, the Giants started on defense with a runner on second, and they got a ground ball, a fly ball, and I think another fly ball or ground ball. The pitcher who was in did proceeded perfectly through that inning, and they still gave up a run. And I think that's kind of ridiculous. I don't think that's how baseball should work, especially when you record three straight outs that should have ended the inning, but instead a run scores and you end up losing. So for the three batter minimum, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But the extra inning runner on second is definitely I'm definitely not a fan of that.
Yeah, I think we can just say it, Taylor. It's trash. It's a trash rule. It's terrible. It dilutes the game. Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously,
it's right out of my mouth.
It's an embarrassment. I mean, seriously. Like, well, I mean, what's next? You know, the guy on second base. He's, you know, the pitcher's gonna have to have one hand tied behind his back. Pretty soon, we're gonna be playing hopscotch. I mean, why don't we just Rochambeau for it next innings? I mean, good lord.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, exactly. A couple more minutes here with Taylor Wirth. Hey, if they let like Gary Bettman in the NHL have their way, there'll be more changes coming. Don't worry. I mean, the overtime in the NHL now is an absolute disgrace. Let me ask you this, Taylor. You know, the expectations for this Giants team, not very high. I think we all understand that. But, you know, the ultimate objective here this season should be player development. Unfortunately, Gabe Kapler's still saddled, if you will, with a bunch of veterans. And I, you know, the more I watch the games and the more that, you know, you see the press conferences and just kind of read the room, the body language, I think there's some frustration from the veteran players on this team about the way Kapler manages in games. And, you know, I know when you're not winning, it's frustrating in general, but are you sensing any unrest in that ball club? You know, is there a divide in that clubhouse right now in your estimation?
I might say there's a little bit of unrest from the veterans. I think on some Zoom calls, they voiced their displeasure with their own usages, primarily the pitchers. I think Crawford made a comment, I think yesterday or the day prior, about his usage. And I don't know if it's a clubhouse divided, but I definitely think there's a little bit of unhappiness in terms of how these players are being used. And I think this year is similar to how it was kind of last year, just because you have these veterans who have been with the club for so long and have won world championships, and you can't really phase them out instantly. You gotta keep playing them just because they're fan favorites and just because they're big names. And I think the new regime is trying to do it their way, but they also have to trot these guys back out there every day for the fans, and they're not performing very well. So it's just kind of a rough mix that I don't really see going away until these guys are phased out of the team in the next year or two.
Taylor, have you heard anything about Joey Bart possibly being called up? Because it felt like at the beginning of the year, it was just nonstop. When's Joey Bart going to get called up? When he's going to get called up? And now it just seems like those talks have kind of staled. Have you heard anything regarding Joey Bart?
The mood seems to be a little bit negative now. Before the season started, Farhan Zaidi, Scott Harris, I think even Gabe Kapler said that they anticipate seeing him up at some point this year. And if I were a betting man, I would probably say that as well. There's a lot of radio silence on Joey Bart right now. And all we hear is just the players at the major league level and the minor league level, they're all petitioning for him to be up. And there's just not much conversation going on publicly about that. And it's kind of weird, but I still imagine that we're going to see Joey Bart here pretty soon, especially if either one of Heinemann or both Heinemann or Trump start to really underperform here coming up soon. But I do think that Joey Bart is on his way up, hopefully pretty soon.
Yeah, and I mean, by the time he gets here, obviously this team wasn't going anywhere this year anyway, but, and maybe they want to make it so there's less pressure on him, but it'll certainly be a little anticlimactic. I mean, I was really looking forward to Joey Bart a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm like, oh yeah, Joey Bart's still in the conversation. So if their goal was to kind of make us put that thought on the back burner, mission accomplished. It's Taylor Wirth with us, sfbay.com on Twitter at Wirth TM. That's WIRTHTM. I know you're doing some double days, so you are also also down at 49ers camp today. What was the scene like down there? And just kind of, you know, just from a logistical standpoint, like what kind of access are you guys afforded right now? What tools are they implementing kind of in this new era that we're living in? I know the NFL is terrified of what the coronavirus could do to their season.
Yeah, the training camp day for us was pretty normal. We're usually on the sidelines watching all the drills, all the group position drills, and their 7-on-7s, and that's what we did today. We were on the sidelines, but we were on the opposite sideline from where all the important action was taking place, and we couldn't move around, so that was a little bit difficult just trying to see what was happening. But it felt like training camp. It felt pretty normal. Except that we're not there in the media workroom. We're not in the press conferences in the up in front of Kyle Shanahan at the podium. And there were some after practice stuff that we usually do that we didn't get, weren't able to do. But overall, the practice felt pretty normal.
Okay, and about the practice, anything stand out to you? I saw you tweeting about Trent Taylor. I mean, this is, you know, a guy that is definitely going to have an opportunity, especially early. Give me some guys maybe that stood out to you.
Yeah, Trent Taylor definitely stood out to me. He looked like himself from last year. And last year, if you remember, he looked really good before he went down with an injury. And we got to see a lot of healthy guys back. We got to see, like, DJ Jones. He was back out there. Like you said, Trent Taylor, Jalen Hurd. We got to see Jordan Reed, who they just signed, and George Kittle was just talking about at the podium. We saw Ayuk. He was returning some punts. He got some work with the second-team offense. Javon Kinlaw, who was just a massive human being. And the new guy, Deion Jordan, who's another massive human being, but he's also very slim and very very toned. So the defense looked pretty good today. That was probably my one takeaway.
Is there one player, Taylor, that you're going to be focusing in on? Obviously, you got to focus on the entire team, but one player where you're going to be going to training camp and you're going to be focusing on every day to kind of see how he progresses. Is there one certain player that stands out for you that you're going to be zoned in on?
I think right now the most important part of this team is that defensive line. So I'm really interested in Javon Kinlaw, obviously replacing DeForest Buckner. I think that's a huge role he's being put in. But on the offensive side of the ball, I think Jalen Hurd could be a real X factor for this offense. I'm really excited to see how they use him if he can stay healthy. He's somebody who has a lot of very interesting tools and someone that Kyle Shanahan can use all over the field. So I think on the offensive side of the ball, definitely Jalen Hurd, and then on the defensive side of the ball, the rookie Kinlaw.
Yeah, Kinlaw. There's expectations very high for him, and I know, he's physical, he's quick. Everything I've heard about Kinlaw is that he's the real deal. Let me ask you, Taylor. You know, he's rocking 99, and we know how much DeForest Buckner meant to this football team, but there's a certain part in the NFL of being a rookie where you just have to, you know, kind of earn your keep, obviously earn your reps. This is a veteran team. You're going to have to earn your spot on that line. Is it fair to Javon Kinlaw at such an early stage in his NFL career to be just calling out, hey, you're the Javon, or you're the DeForest Buckner replacement? I mean, I know that's the ultimate objective, but, you know, it's kind of the old adage, you got to crawl before you walk.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that for most or some rookies, it could definitely be a daunting task, definitely with all that pressure. But it sounds like the 49ers are as confident on Kinlaw as any rookie they've had in a long time. So it sounds like he should have no problem stepping in and being productive, at least. Obviously, there's that development that needs to happen. But they sound like he's the guy, and I think obviously the depth behind him will be very, very important, like the DJ Jones and the eventually Ronald Blair. But right now, it sounds like they're as confident on Javon Kinlaw as they can be.
Taylor, one guy we haven't asked about yet is Jimmy Garoppolo. And Kyle Juszczyk said earlier this week that he was playing without a brace, but then in camp today he was playing with a brace on. What'd you see from Jimmy Garoppolo today? Did he have that brace on? And is there anything else that stood out to you about Jimmy Garoppolo today?
Yeah, he had that brace on, the same one from last year. And there wasn't a whole lot of passing from the 49ers offense today. There was a lot of running. But from what we saw of Jimmy Garoppolo, he looked he looked like Jimmy Garoppolo. He looked fine. I think Nick Mullins was actually the one who stood out more, just because I was talking to Grant Cohn about this. It looked like he had some more zip on the ball. It looked like he was throwing the ball harder, and he actually, I think, stood out of the three quarterbacks today, Nick Mullins.
All right, two guys I want to ask you about before we let you go, Taylor. I really appreciate you coming on. I know it's a busy day for you. First, Jason Verrett.
Yeah, Jason was I saw him out there. I almost kind of forgot about him at first, just because he didn't really play last season except for a few snaps. But, yeah, he was out there wearing number 22. He looked pretty decent. And I have no idea what to expect from him this year.
Yeah, I think they're looking for Verrett to be some found money. I just, you know, with his injury history, it's been tough to get an accurate gauge of just how good he is. And then the other guy, you know, back in that running back room, we still haven't actually seen him. I mean, you talk about injuries taking its toll. Jerick McKinnon restructures the deal. Did you see anything from Jed? Everything I've been hearing is he looks pretty good.
I didn't see a whole lot from Jerick McKinnon today. It was primarily Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman at the top, and then Jeff okay. Wilson, and then some Jermichael Hasty. There could have been some McKinnon in there, but those were the guys that we saw most of. We didn't see much of McKinnon today.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes, man. Still plenty of time between now and week one against the Cardinals. Hey, Taylor, man, appreciate your time, bro. Thanks so much doing that double duty today. Go get that money, sfbay.com. Check them out, and stay safe, stay healthy, brother. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You too, guys. I appreciate it.
Giants and 49ers beat writer Taylor Wirth for sfbay.com. He was on with Covey and I from Saturday just to give us an update. And, you know, it's with training camp going on right now, the swing of how we view football is we tend to overreact from things that we hear in training camp. Oh, this guy doesn't look too good. We see these, you know, the rankings of how wide receivers look. We see all of that. And I wonder if the overreaction to training camp for the 49ers right now in a not-so-normal time, the season's less than a month away. So I wonder how much we can actually react to training camp and it would be okay, as opposed to beforehand when, you know, you'd see something, then immediately it could change the week after. But since we're almost... I mean, we're damn close to the football season, if it does happen, of course. And I just wonder how much we can overreact to what goes on in training camp. From the 650 on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570, and I'll get to some stuff regarding the Warriors in a second, and a player who wants to join the team by the looks of it. But from the 650, there's still lightning here in Redwood City. Please stay safe. From the 925, lightning and thunder still going on out here in Richmond. A different number from the 925. Good morning, nice guy. There's a thunderstorm lightning happening right now. It's crazy. From the 415, I spent a great deal of my childhood growing up in Dayton, Ohio, so I've had my fair share of thunder and lightning, and the feeling is the same no matter where. Scary, and it is lightning like hell right now in San Mateo County. That's Robin, and we love Robin. Love, Robin. And you know, everyone stay safe. But like that Sunday morning when I woke up, and I think it was around 4 o'clock. It was 4:45, 4:50, and I wake up just this loud bang, and I look outside, and I knew there were going to be thunderstorms, but I didn't know it was going to be something like that. And of course, I want to just give a shout out to all the firefighters and everyone who's part of the fire department in the Bay Area. I know over in Livermore where I'm at, they were pretty busy that morning because there was a fire going on the south side. So, you know, I just hopefully everyone stays safe and you know, be smart and everything. But I do want to know your experience, though, because we're kind of all in this together. 888-957-9570. We got Eric in Oakland on the line. How's it going, Eric?
Hey, good morning. I actually live in Walnut Creek.
Yeah.
And it was pretty crazy. But I woke up around the same time as you, and I was upstairs in the bathroom, and I was hearing noise on my roof. It seemed like there was a bunch of big ants running around.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? It's going to be rain. So then I went outside the patio, I look, and it was, you know, it was thunder and it was lightning. And I have to be honest with you, I took advantage of the situation. I woke up the missus, and I was like, hey, let's get romantic, you know. I figured I'd try to get some kind of card there, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, it's opportunities. And while she's all feeling romantic, I felt like four. Dude, I was coming down with thunder, man. I was loving it. I was like, all right, this is the first and probably only time in my life I'll be able to experience that and give her something unusual after 15 years of marriage. You know what I mean? So I took advantage of it, man. I got to be honest with you.
Keeping things fresh. Oh, man. Eric, what did you think of? Did you watch any of the A's and Giants over the weekend? What did you think of that?
Man, I'm a big-time A's fan.
Yeah.
I was talking so much smack. I mean, I can't believe the two comebacks at the end of Game 1 and Game 2, grand slams and crazy home runs.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, the fifth inning, 9 runs in the fifth inning?
Yeah.
They were just bringing the bats, and I was like, wow. And my poor brother, he's a huge Giants fan, He calls me after Game 2. And he was like, can you give me an A's jersey? I'm like, dude, don't even talk about it. Don't think about it. Ride with your team. You're not going to be an A's fan. I don't accept you on this side of the bay. Yeah. Stay over there with your bad team, man.
But, oh, man.
Yeah. It was fun to watch. I can't, you know what, though? I got to be honest with you. I know that the Giants aren't good, so I can't really rub it in their face because it's kind of hollow in a way. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Team's right. Bad. We're not expecting much, so, you know.
All right. Well, appreciate the call, Eric, man.
No problem.
Oh, a little different take on the lightning storm. As the A's did sweep the Giants over the weekend, and, you know, those two losses on Friday and Saturday, they were bad enough. I really didn't understand I don't get it when immediately as something bad happens with a reliever, we blame Gabe Kapler. Because this relief corps that they have right now, it's just, I can't definitively say, oh, if Gabe Kapler would have brought in this other guy, then that wouldn't have happened. I really can't say that. They haven't shown me enough to give me confidence. They've given up 81 runs this season, which is by far the most in baseball. And they gave up 22. The relief pitchers gave up 22 runs in this series alone. Are we really going to say that entire thing is Gabe Kapler's fault? No, he just doesn't have much talent right now. I don't really get it. And you, Giants fans, you know that this season before, it wasn't that bad. Or it wasn't going to be a good one. And it was, you know, we were kind of going into it with a we-don't-care mentality. But now we've turned into going to criticize Gabe Kapler for every single move that he makes when he has a bullpen which isn't solidified at all. And Trevor Gott was the one who everyone thought of as the de facto closer. Like, where did we get that notion? Where did we get that? Again, 888-957-9570. But I did want to give you an update on the Warriors. So here's how this all went down. Channing Frye, of course, you know, former player, former Sun, former Cav. This offseason for the Suns, he tweeted this. This is Channing Frye, and he's great. I think he does a podcast. I forgot with. I want to say, I think it's Richard Jefferson. And I think it's called Road Trippin'. And Channing Frye, he tweeted out, this offseason for the Suns, this is from Saturday. This offseason for the Suns, Kings, Grizz, Mavs, and Minnesota are going to be huge. Such amazing and talented players. That race for the eighth spot next year is going to be wild. And then he continued and said, oh, let's not forget about the Pelicans. And then Jared Dudley, who is still playing, said, don't forget the Warriors. They'll be back. And if they'll be healthy with a top five pick added to their roster, they are a top four team in the West. So Channing Frye originally started out naming all these teams in the Western Conference that are on the up and up. And Jared Dudley quoted it saying, don't forget the Warriors, and essentially said that they'll be back with the top five pick. And bring in Isaiah Thomas, as Isaiah Thomas tweeted at Jared Dudley and quote tweeted it saying, I need that Warriors action. I'll come off the bench serving with all exclamation points. And Bleacher Report, they tweeted out a graphic of Isaiah Thomas and his tweet. And then Isaiah Thomas doubled down and said, just know I can help a little bit. So you get a guy who at least wants to play on the Warriors, and I think Isaiah Thomas could thrive in this situation. They got the mid-level exception. They got the trade exception. They do have money to spend here. But there is another. There is one guy I've been looking at. He's going to be a free agent next year, and I think this guy can help off the bench. But it's Dennis Schroeder. I think that if you can get Dennis Schroeder as a backup point guard, and I like Kai Bowman a lot, but he's not going to give you the type of scoring production that you'd want from the backup point guard. And I think Dennis Schroeder, he can run the floor. He can shoot the three and create his shot whenever he wants to. Dennis Schroeder, pretty good, and he's known to be a pretty serviceable sixth man. I think if you get him combined with if they end up keeping that pick or trading it away, if they do trade it away, I don't think the Warriors are going to make any irrational moves or something too quick. But also, this notion of Andrew Wiggins and, you know, him not playing to his potential with the Warriors. He had one game with Steph. That's it. They haven't even given him a chance with Steph, Klay, Draymond all on the floor, along with that pick that they could be getting, possibly number one overall. The draft lottery's coming up this week. We're going to get way more into it, but they do have some good picks up there that are big men that just aren't guards. So, very interested to see what they do there. But Isaiah Thomas showing his interest in the Warriors. And when we see players like this do that, I think that, you know, that could serve to be pretty beneficial to them. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas, much like Dennis Schroeder, can, you know, create a shot and give you a three-pointer when you need it. I think it'd be pretty cool to have Isaiah Thomas on the Warriors, but that's just me. All right, coming up, Kozlow and Covey are coming up next. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.